There is a statement that gets made in my classroom quite a bit, and I'm wondering how often it happens in your classroom as well. Now, before I ever tell you this statement, I need you to know that there are mixed emotions about it. I think a lot of people in education would say, yes, that is an indication of learning. That is an indication of trust and great relationships. And I think a lot of people, maybe in education, but especially people outside of schools, would say that's a waste of time. That is not a good use of education. What are you doing? Get refocused. Now, based off of those details, I'm curious if you can predict what the statement is. In fact, this statement happened in my classroom today, and it is, how did we even get here? And I'll tell you my opinion on it. I love when that statement happens, because I think when students ask, how did we even get here? It's an indicator that something spurred conversation, that there was a catalyst for conversation that maybe they didn't see coming, and maybe, heck, I didn't even see it coming, but I opened up the doors to give students the time and the space to unpack it, to process it, and to engage in some really meaningful and really important conversation that I think we have to do a better job of creating in our classrooms on a daily basis. And guess what? In this episode, I'm going to give you the roadmap to create that statement more often, but to do it in a completely strategic, very simple, and extremely effective way. So if that sounds interesting, then you're in the right place. And I'll tell you, this is for any age group, any subject area. I don't care if you've been teaching for 2 years or 22 years. I think this is something that we need to utilize more often, and I'm going to show you exactly how to create that moment. So let's get into it. There is awesome in every single school day. So here is the big question. How can teachers like us, who love our job, love our students, and love being a part of education, celebrate awesome even more in our classrooms and learning communities? Where can we find teaching tips and tricks? Where can we find engaging stories and motivational strategies? That is the question, and this weekly podcast is your answer. So welcome to all my teacher friends. My name is Monica Genta, and I am so excited that you are here listening to this podcast, This Teacher Life. Now, spoiler alert, I will tell you, when a student said, Ms. Genta, how did we even get here today? First of all, they did it with a smile on their face. And I need you to know that even though they were surprised that we had gotten to quote here, I was not surprised by this at all. I knew that we were going to be headed in a different direction because I had an amazing starter question. I had a catalyst for incredible conversation that I have used with middle schoolers. I've used it with high schoolers. I've used it with elementary students. And that's because on Tuesdays, I do this thing called Let's Talk About It Tuesday. Okay. Now, sometimes it's Take a Look Tuesday. Sometimes it's Take a Listen Tuesday. But one of my goals on a Tuesday, really of any day, but specifically on a Tuesday, is to just create a little bit of meaningful conversation that might not appear as if it's connected to the curriculum. Now, fair warning, I am an SEL teacher. I teach K-12 social and emotional learning, life skills, college and career readiness skills. That is my job in my small rural school district. But I can tell you, even when I was teaching in a much larger district, or for the 13 years that I was teaching science and or math, I still chiseled out time to create these exact same conversations. So for those of you who are like, how would you fit this into your curriculum? How do you fit this into everyday life, everyday classroom conversation, it's simple. You do it at the start. You do it at the end. You can call it a bell ringer. You can call it an exit slip. We got all kinds of great educational words for what I'm about to talk about. So I walked into class, got my computer started up like normal, and then I opened up my document that I have saved on my desktop. So it's like a one click and we're ready to roll. And it's my 180 days of awesome SEL curriculum that I wrote. So I knew in my head that we were doing this on a Tuesday, but I didn't have to plan or prep for anything because I knew that this was slide number 94 in my PDF deck. I spent so much time a number of years ago curating and creating 180 lessons that were proven to work because I had piloted them and I tried them and I was like, man, these are amazing. I'm just going to continue rolling with them. So I knew in my lessons plans that I was opening up page 94 and we were going to do Let's Talk About It Tuesday. And I also had a specific picture linked already in the lesson plan in the PDF document. And so I'll just throw out the question to you right here, right now, because I know even as an adult listening that you're going to have an opinion on this. So the question to get us talking on a Tuesday was, what is your favorite flavor of Doritos? And when I threw that out there, I lobbed that out there, immediately I got lots of smiles on faces and kids were raising their hand. They were ready to go. And so on my board, I started keeping track of the data that they had. And so every single student got to express their favorite Dorito flavor. And I'll share the data with you because now I'm kind of curious if this would be similar data in your classroom. We had four students say nacho cheese, the standard nacho cheese flavor. We had three students say Cool Ranch, which is delicious. I mean, I think those are so zesty. We had one student say the Tangy Barbecue. We had one student say Spicy Cool Ranch, which I'd never heard of. I'd love to try that. We had three votes for the Sweet Chili, which comes in the purple bag. And then this caught me off guard because I didn't even know it was a flavor, but it was the fan favorite. We had six students vote that Spicy Nacho was their favorite. I'd love to try that. So that was the winning Dorito flavor in the classroom. Now that took us, you know, maybe 2 minutes for each student to have their voice be heard. Every single kid had to throw out their favorite Doritos. But you know what was interesting about that? I did not even have to pull popsicle sticks to kind of force engagement. Kids shot those hands up into the air and we had kind of interesting conversations about each, about these spicy Doritos. How spicy are they? And that kind of thing. But what really happened after that is the thing that caused us to say, you know, 30 minutes later, how did we get here? Because the next thing that I asked was, okay, now that you've got your favorite flavor Dorito in your head, when you think of Doritos, what kind of things come to mind? Okay. Now, when we were doing this on a Tuesday, I actually did this on the Tuesday after Super Bowl. It wasn't intentional. It was just that's when I did it. That's when it was kind of written into my plans and my script. And so what was interesting is when I said, hey, what do you think of? A lot of kids started talking about Super Bowl snacks because they had recently had some of these Doritos at Super Bowl parties. And I said, okay, this is kind of interesting because if you know, you were at a party and a friend had poured them into a giant bowl. Are you the person who is picking specific shapes of Doritos or specific Doritos that have a certain amount of powder on them? Or are you just like putting your fist in that bowl and just grabbing as many as you can? What is your Dorito strategy? And what was really interesting is some kids were like, they all taste the same. I don't care. Some kids were like, no, I want the perfect pizza shape Dorito. I want it to look exactly like a piece of pizza with enough of the dust on it. And some kids said like, no, No, I want the ones that are all kind of curled up because I can put that into my mouth and it doesn't hurt the sides of my lips because sometimes Doritos cut the side of my lips. And so these kind of like silly, quirky conversations were starting to sprout up. But one kid said, I don't like the ones with a lot of powder on them. I don't like some of the Doritos that have so much dust on them. And a bunch of the kids were like, what? Those are the best. I want so much dust. And one kid said, no, sometimes too much of a good thing is not a good thing anymore. And boom, there was an opening. Did I know that that kid was going to say that? I had no idea he was going to say that. Did I anticipate a kid saying that? No, I did not. But part of being a great teacher, part of really diving into effective, engaging social and emotional learning is literally being a better listener. And when kids give us those conversation cues, when kids give us those catalysts for deeper conversations, we had to hit pause and ponder, how can I leverage that for more learning? And when a kid said, when it comes to Dorito dust, too much of a good thing is no longer a good thing, I hit pause and I said, hold up, tell me more. What do you mean about that? And the kid said, well, I think that's true. Sometimes too much of a good thing is not good. The Dorito dust can give me a bellyache. And I said, are there any exclusions to that? Like, is that true for every single thing in life? And kids started throwing out things that they're like, no, when it comes to too much homework or too much learning, teachers gotta pare back a little bit. Learning is good, but too much learning makes our brains hurt. Too much learning makes us hate school. So I said, but are there any exceptions? And a kid said, yeah, money. They said, money is a good thing, but money is one of those things where too much of it doesn't make it a bad thing. And I looked around the room to gauge, did all of the kids' body language make it feel like they agreed? And there were a few kids who said, no, I actually don't think that's true. Because I've read some things that said that too much money actually makes people unhappy. And I said, well, tell me more about that. And they're like, if you have too much money, do you think that people just always are hounding you to borrow money and then that's annoying? Do you think if you have too much money that you can actually have real friendships because do they like your personality or do they like that you have money? And then somebody else said, yeah, like gold diggers. And I said, okay. Now, this was a middle school class, okay? These were seventh graders throwing out these terms like, yeah, like a gold digger. And I said, well, what do you mean by that? And they're like, yeah, people who only want to marry you for your money. And I said, do you guys think that's a real thing? And there were a number of middle school boys who were like, yeah, whoever I marry in the future, whoever I partner with in the future, I want them to actually like my personality. I want them to actually like who I am because what if one day I'm broke? What if one day I go into debt and then they just dump me? Then did they ever like me in the first place? Can I tell you, friends, this dynamic conversation all started with Doritos. I'll give you the two trigger sentences. One, what is your favorite flavor of Dorito? That got us warmed up. Then it was, what do you think of Doritos? What memories come to mind when I throw out the word Doritos? And we went from Super Bowl party to Dorito dust to too much of a good thing is no longer a good thing, except maybe when it comes to money. And then all of a sudden, all these relationship dynamics started to sprout up. And so then another kid said, well, I don't mind the Dorito dust. And I said, no. And they're like, I love the Dorito dust. And somebody said, yeah, but is it gross when people are licking all the Dorito dust off of their fingers? Now, we're going to get into more of the silly nature of that question because I'm kind of curious. Do you? I know it's gross. I know it's like not a good looking habit or even a polite habit. But if you got a bunch of extra Dorito dust on your fingers,
Are you licking your Dorito dust off of your fingers? I know that sounds crazy as an adult to ask, but like, no judgment, are you? Because you know what? I think I probably am, honestly. But I think this conversation is just a perfect example of ways that we can crush it for kids. How do we crush it for kids on a daily basis so that they love coming into our classroom, so that they feel trusted and loved as humans? How do we utilize our interests, skills, and strengths? When we crush it for kids, we can do incredible things. And that is why I want to tell you about the Crushing It for Kids course, which begins in April. This is a 21-day fun, flexible, virtual course. And I will tell you in advance, this is the last course of this school year. If you have never done a virtual course with me, they are 100% online, packed with hundreds of simple and strategic ideas, and you can earn up to 15 hours worth of official PD credits. This is going to make your April absolutely awesome. And I know in the past, you might be thinking, by the end of the year, I hit a wall. Monica, April isn't awesome for me, it's awful. Well, guess what? I actually think the Crushing It for Kids course can turn your April upside down in a good way, and we can end this school year on a good note. If you are needing tons of ideas to re-engage students in the spring, if you are needing tons of ideas to help build stronger connections before that final bell rings, I want you to check out the Crushing It for Kids course at www.monicagenta.com/courses. That's Monica, GENTA.com/courses. And I'm also going to put a direct link to get signed up in the show notes. I promise that the Crushing It for Kids course is going to help you crush it for kids, not only during the month of April, but for the end of this school year, and it's going to give us the momentum that we need to start summer on a good note. Check out monicagenta.com/courses to get signed up and earn up to 15 hours worth of official PD credit. Okay, are you ready to admit, what is your philosophy on Dorito dust? Because my students came up with like a rubric. I swear to goodness. They came up with this like, people do one of three things with Dorito dust on their hands. They either immediately wash their hands because they're sicked out by it. They literally wipe them on their pants. Or they lick their fingers. And I said, you guys really think those are the three things? And kids are like, actually, I don't think everyone wipes it on their pants. It depends. Now, again, this is seventh graders and eighth graders in this class. It depends. We will wipe our Dorito dust on our pants if, one, they are already dirty and it doesn't matter. Two, they are dark colored pants. Or three, that they're really old pants. Okay, that's what they said. Kids said if they are white sweatpants or white shorts or white jeans, they are extra careful when eating Doritos because they don't want the Dorito dust to get on their white clothing. Again, so silly, but actually I think really significant that kids are giving it this much thought. So then they said, what do you think a majority of people do? And I said, well, you know, I'm not sure if any research has ever been conducted on Dorito dust before, but I said, let's, you know, open up our devices. Let's open up our Chromebooks and see if there is any research on, you know, Dorito dust. So then they are being educated individuals and looking things up about Dorito dust. And it was really fascinating because they found a blog, and the whole blog post was actually about Dorito dust. In fact, the question was, are you the type of person who licks dust off of your fingers when eating Cheetos and Doritos? If so, what does that say about who you are as a human being? That was the question on their research. What does it say about who you are? And some kids were like, I think it probably says a lot about who you are. And a majority of the class was like, I think people are taking this way too seriously. But then they started going through this blog and they started reading how judgmental people were.
and they were calling people maniacs. In this blog, people were like, if you lick your fingers with Dorito dust, you're an absolute maniac and you don't deserve to eat these Doritos. And if you do this, this means that your mama didn't raise you right, because who's licking Dorito dust off of their fingers? And I mean, this whole blog was getting like bombarded by haters. And I said, what do you guys think about this? And they said, we think people are taking this way too seriously. It's just a freaking Dorito. And I was like, yeah, but is there ever a time in life where you can look back and think, whoa, I took that way too seriously. It wasn't that big of a deal. I didn't need to get that heated. I didn't need to say something that mean. And they're like, yeah, that happens all the time. But it's in like a basketball game, not about Doritos. And I said, yeah, but in the big scheme of things, is a basketball game really that big of a deal? One game? And they're like, no. And then I said, but why do you think that there are strangers who get online and just slay other strangers on the internet? And a kid raised his hand. He said, you mean keyboard warriors? And I said, whoa, I didn't know that you knew that term. What does that mean? What do you guys think a keyboard warrior is? And another kid raised his hand and said, people who get on their devices and just start typing mean things. It's like bullets, but with words. They're warriors and they're fighting with people through a screen. I said, that's exactly what a keyboard warrior is. I said, so why do you think that that term exists? And they said, well, usually we think keyboard warriors are just depressed and sad. And I surveyed the class. I was like, how many of you guys believe that? And a majority of kids raised their hand and said, yeah, we think that's true. And I said, yeah, but that's not a word that we use very often for your age group. I don't usually refer to like middle school kids or high school kids as keyboard warriors. So what's the equivalent of that? And another kid raised his hand and said, you mean like cyberbullying? I said, yeah. And again, all of these connections are being made. All of this conversation is rolling out because of that one simple sentence starter of, what is your favorite Dorito flavor? We went from talking about spicy nacho cheese Doritos to keyboard warriors and how they thought it was sad that people go online who are depressed and maybe don't love themselves much, and they find the need to type these things and hate on people and just literally slay strangers online. And then we had a really great conversation about that and how we can combat that. And do you block those people? Do you respond to those people? And then a student raised their hand as class was almost over and said, Ms. Shenta, you're on social media a lot. What do you say? And I said, well, I actually have two different strategies. It kind of depends on what they're saying, and it kind of depends on, honestly, my mood, because there are times when, yeah, it's hard to read negative things about you online, especially from strangers who aren't there to learn. They're just there to, like, basically tarnish you and kind of punch you digitally. So I said, depending on if I have the emotional energy to engage, I will say, I'm sending love your way. I'm sorry you're having a bad day, but I'm not going to take this to heart. Or I'm sending love your way. I hope whatever you do for a living, you love a lot. I hope you love it as much as I love teaching. But depending on how mean and disrespectful it is, sometimes we have to protect our emotional intelligence. We have to protect ourselves. And sometimes that means that we're just blocking people. Blocking them from TikTok, blocking them from Facebook, blocking their phone numbers. And this got really heavy in a lot of ways. And right before the bell rang, the kids raised their hands and said, Ms. Shenta, did you know that it was going to go like this? Because they said, I have no idea when you asked what our favorite Dorito flavor, that we were going to talk about the Super Bowl, that we were going to talk about Dorito dust, that we were going to talk about too much money being maybe not a good thing. And I said, no, I didn't know that it was going to go like this. But I hoped for it. I planned for it. And I think that's what really good social and emotional learning is. I just walked into my classroom And hopefully you and I are creating spaces where we can hit pause and say, whoa, what do you mean by that? Are conversations like this going to happen every single day? Absolutely not. Are we going to get to this depth every single day? For sure not. But I think the number one most powerful and often missing tool in schools is that we have a plan for it to take place. And if you don't have a plan and you're like, I don't even know what questions I would ask, I don't even know how I would create the time and space for it, then I want you to know that I was literally using my plans from 180 days of awesome SEL. I'm using my own curriculum in my classroom. And you know what's wild about it is I didn't even get to do the rest of the activity that I had planned because I had a picture with Doritos lined up and we were going to do an activity with that. And then we were going to do reflection questions on why we picked certain Doritos. The plan that I had in place, we only did 1/3 of the official plan. And I threw the other 2/3 of this really good lesson out the window because the kids created something even greater. The kids showed me what they needed. But I brought the conversation starter to the table. If you are needing something like this and you just don't have the time or the space, or maybe you just don't feel like you're equipped to come up with those kinds of things. Oftentimes people say, I'm just not that creative. Then you can actually check out the full 180 days of awesome SEL curriculum. I will put a direct link for that in the show notes, but it's at monicagenta.com/180SEL. And at this point, I have two totally different versions. One version that's really good for elementary school and one version that's really good for middle school. And I've even used some of it at the high school level too. You can check those out at monicagenta.com/180SEL. And I'm also going to put a direct link in the show notes. This was literally slide number 94. In my deck, it was a Take a Look Tuesday Dorito lesson. And instead of taking a look at the picture, we ended up taking a listen to one another and creating dynamic Dorito conversations. And I would love for you to create that exact same kind of relationship opportunity in your class by snatching up the entire curriculum so you never have to plan another SEL lesson again. Again, you can go to monicagenta.com/180SEL or go to the show notes that are linked at the bottom of this episode so you can check out the Crushing It for Kids course or this really engaging curriculum. I'm not sure what your favorite Dorito flavor is, but I do know that they're constantly coming out with new flavors and new ideas. And I think that's what we are doing as teachers as well. We are constantly coming out with new flavors, new ways to bring energy and enthusiasm and engagement to kids. We're also coming out with new ideas, and sometimes they work, sometimes they don't, just like Doritos. A few years ago, they came out with a ketchup Dorito here in the United States. Did I try it? Yes. Did I love it? No. Do they still sell it? Also, no. But that's another great analogy for us as teachers. We got to be willing to try things. We got to be willing to engage with things. And it doesn't mean that it's going to work every single year, but every single time we do something new and we attempt something a little bit different and outside of the box, our kids will tell us if it's good. Our kids will show us if they are engaged by how much they participate and how much they learn and grow. Who knew that Doritos had so many great comparisons to classrooms? I love it. I also love that you are here listening to this episode. I want to thank you for being here every single week, but most importantly, thank you for living this teacher life.